Hallelujah. Welcome. Glory to God. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. When we get through with maps, we'll close the service. Somebody lock the door. Glory to God. We'll talk tonight about, again, who you really are. Religion will really do a number on you, even after you're saved. I know the denomination I grew up in was full of good people that love God and on their way to heaven. Salt of the earth people. Love of Christ is in them. If they find out you're in trouble, they'll give you the shirt right off their back. But yet their doctrine that they teach will keep you very stunted as a Christian your whole life. Because even though you've been born again, they don't argue that phrase, they use that terminology, the doctrine they teach you is that you've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. Well, thank God for that. And they preach Christ crucified, they do preach the cornerstone and the foundation correctly. But their theology is basically an Old Testament theology, that you're forgiven, but you're still that same old sinner, just saved by grace. And you're not. The New Testament in no way teaches that anywhere. I hope you're not missing any of these services. Sue and I had to miss last Wednesday night because a friend of ours was in the hospital undergoing surgery at the time. So we called and let people know that we weren't going to be here. But I've been eagerly waiting to hear that message because the Holy Ghost is knitting together through everyone that teaches here one message. And this morning's 8:30 message, if you missed it, you've got to get it. I mean, you've just got to get that. And they're all aimed at one goal. I see it just as clear as anything. We are heading into revival. And he is determined to remove from us anything that the enemy could use as a handle to discredit or stop the revival. All of these messages. And we're not getting together on the side, you know, to compare notes, trying to make this happen. There is an unseen hand orchestrating these teachings. But they're fitting together. I mean, two Wednesdays ago, I think it was, when Alan taught, I got a little nugget out of that teaching. There wasn't, I mean, you know, he would say to you, it's not deep calleth unto deep. But sometimes you hear just the same truth said just a little different way. And the light bulb will go on. And something that's messed with you for years, you go, oh! And I know I'm walking a couple of steps higher, and I will the rest of my life from that message. So I encourage you again, if you can't physically be here, thank God through DaveRoberson.org, IctusNetMedia.com, GaryCarpenter.org, I think you've got your own website now, MarkJenkins.org, AlanTaylor.org, or com. If you don't listen to it, since they're free, we figure it's your own fault. You're not going to point at us on Judgment Day and say, well, that Mark, he kept that revelation to himself. No, he didn't. He taught it. And he made it available for free. It's your choice. It's your choice. You can't be pointing at Mark. All right. Well, let's get a macro. Sometimes we teachers, because I love to get into the Greek and the tenses and all of that, even though I'm not a Greek scholar. I love all of that. But what happens so often, we'll get, you know, first we're on a subject, and then we zero in on a verse, and then there's a particular word in that verse, and then we go to the Greek, and then we go to the Greek of the Greek, and whether it was Koine or classical Greek, and then how was it you? Pretty soon, you know, we came to examine the forest, and we wind up inspecting the bugs under the bark, and you're going, what kind of tree was this? And we don't even. So tonight we're going to do a little macro. What is this whole thing about? What is the plan of God? Where are we in it? And who are you? Who are you in God's plan right now? Who are you really? Not who religion says you are. Who God's Word says you are. Well, is Genesis 1 early enough? Is that okay? You can read the account of how God made the heavens and the earth, but let's start with when he makes man. So let's start in verse 26 of Genesis 1. What's amazing here, you'll find a certain phrase repeated three times in two verses. Now, when the Holy Spirit inspires a person to write, and he repeats himself three times in two verses, you reckon he's trying to get something across. All right, let's look at this. So, the phrase is, in the image of God. So, God said, This is Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. And just to make sure you didn't get it wrong, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. How was man? What was God's plan? I'm going to create this wonderful earth. It's going to have all of these majestic trees and God only, you know, I watch a sunset. Jim Martin taught when he was here one time. You know, we see that beautiful red in the sunsets and the yellows and the oranges. And what causes that is that we're living in a fallen world. It's, you know, it really is the snow. There was no snow originally, you know. And we think how beautiful this planet is. And it is. I mean, it's absolutely, boy, there's just, it'll just mess with you. It's so pretty. And you think this is a fallen world. What was it like before the fall? We can't, that one song, I really like that one. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I think it's going to be greater, super abundantly beyond anything we could even think, you know. The heavens and the new earth, what's that really going to be like? But God, he made this wonderful planet. And then he intended to have male and female. He made them to replenish the earth. But his plan was to have humans, let me say it this way, made in his image. Now, in the early days, I was taught, and this is accurate, you know, God is, there's one God. How many knows there's only one God? Yet he presents himself to us, or represents himself in three parts, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So I remember in the early days, him teaching us, we'll see, man is a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. That is all true, but that's not really what the Holy Spirit is trying to get across here. That's true. What he's trying to say is man was originally made with the same nature in him that God had in him. Man was not created to be a sinner. Man was created to be a ruler. He was created to have dominion. That was, let us make man and let them have what? Dominion. That was our purpose. But we were to have dominion under the Father, with the same nature as the Father. Not competition and my kingdom against your kingdom and wars and all of the things that we see now. No, it was one unified purpose. It's like Jesus would say, I and my Father are one. We don't think any different. We don't act any different. I do what I see him doing. I say what I hear him saying. That was always God's plan. Man originally was made in the image of God. One time in prayer, and it was really, I believe the verse is in Colossians, I'm not sure about that, but it's the one where it says, all things were created by him and for him. And right at that moment, I had one of those little teaching visions. And in that vision, I saw in the garden, I saw that, you know how it says, he made from the dust of the ground, from the earth, God formed the body. Then it says, then he breathed the breath of life. In fact, we're right here. Just come on over to chapter 2, verse 7. There it is right there. It says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Well, I love how Dave teaches that. He says, now how many of you think that it was oxygen that God breathed into Adam? Do you think God is dependent upon his own creation? Do you think God requires oxygen to survive? Is that what he was breathing into Adam? No, it says he was breathing life. In a vision, while I was praying one time, I saw that the second member of the Godhead, don't ask me how I know it was Jesus. How do you know in a dream? You know, how do you know? You just know. It was Jesus holding that body, and it was lifeless. It was formed. There's the first man. Jesus is holding that lifeless body. And it was him that just reached down and breathed something from the inside of himself, the nature of God, He breathed that life into Adam. And Adam is called, if you look, read Luke's genealogy, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. He come down to Adam. It says, who was the son of God? He had God's nature. He was created in the beginning to rule and reign. One with his Father, unbroken fellowship with heaven. Perfect communion, just like we see the second man, the last Adam, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So man originally was not only created as a tripart being like God. Man was originally created with God's very own nature. And God only gave him one command, don't eat the fruit of that tree. That was it. We've been through this many, many times. You know, at first, the enemy, he didn't attack directly Adam. He came through the wife. He attacked God's word. You know, he asked her, he says, aren't you free to eat of any fruit in the garden? She says, no. We can eat of all of them except that one. That one, we're not supposed to eat it, not even touch it. God said, if we eat it, we'll die. And the devil directly comes against God's word. He says, thou shalt not surely die. That's what he tells you. That was the message this morning. There is no consequence to sin. There is no consequence. I just now see that connection. This is God doing this. There is a consequence to sin. There is a false gospel being preached out there right now. That you can just get saved and live any old way you want to and you'll be okay. No, you won't be okay. This is not God's plan. This was never God's plan. He intended to have a people on earth made in His image walking victoriously in this life. Now what happened to Adam when he did sin? His nature changed. He's no longer... Now on the outside, he's still a man with a spirit and a soul living in a body. In that sense, he's still made in the image of God. And you'll find references to that in the Old Testament. But his true nature changed. You know, later when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he says, you're of your father, the devil. And they're going, no, we're not. And he got like Jane see the ball. He was so trying to get across. You know, Jesus loved those Pharisees too. He was trying to reach them. He was trying to get across to them. If you don't follow me into the new birth, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to perish. You're going to wind up in hell. He'd say, like Jane see the ball. He would get it down like, all right, let's see if you can understand this. I am from above. You are from below. I am of God, but your father is the devil. You know, I'm the bread of life. I mean, he's trying to get across to them in the most simplest form that you... And they just absolutely rejected it. But see, that is the whole problem. Yes, let me phrase it just like... The problem with man is who man is. That's the problem. That's why God gave man the law. This is how I would live. He gives his law. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, man proved, the Jews proved. You know, the guy in Romans 7, bless his heart. He's got God's law with his mind. He says, I agree that your law is holy, righteous, and good. I'm going to keep that law. But as soon as I set out to keep it, the thing that I wasn't ever going to do, I wind up doing that. And then the thing that I was going to do, that good thing, you know, I don't ever wind up doing that, oh God. And that's the problem. Man is flawed at his core. The image changed man from the fall. No longer made in the image of God. Now, go ahead and be turning to Romans 8 and let me read you Hebrews 1:3. We're going to go to Romans 8. If you go to the prayer center very long, your Bible should just fall open to Romans 8 anyhow. On your way, let me read to you Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says, speaking of Jesus, it says, who being the brightness of His glory. Now get this. And the express image, not just the image, the express image of His person. And upholding all things by the word of His power when He had Himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now that phrase there, the express image, that's who Jesus is. You look that up in Strong's, those two words, express image, it's translated from one word, You've probably never heard of this word. And that's spelled K-H-A-R-A-K-T-A-R. Character. It's where we get our word character. It's from the same as G-5482, and it literally means a graver, someone who would grave an image. And it can refer to either the tool or the person. So it represents an engraving, the figure stamp, that is, an exact representation. That's why Jesus said to Philip, Philip, you've been with me all this time and you're asking to see the Father? Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Colossians 3:1, you don't have to go, 3:10, you don't have to go there. It says, put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're going to get to that in a minute. All right, did you find Romans 8:29? Well, God's original plan was to have a species on planet Earth to rule and reign under God, have dominion. Man fell. As you know, he switched gods. Most people serve the god of mammon their whole life. One way or the other. Either searching for more of it. Spend their whole life from the birth to the grave. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What are we going to drink? How are we going to live? But most of the world is living that way. God says you can't live like that. You know, you can't serve God and mammon. You got to serve God first. That's a whole nother lesson. But man fell is the point. Well, ever since then, God has had a purpose. But Dave talked this morning about being stubborn. You never met anyone more stubborn than God. God, he never gives up on his plan. Do you know he is still going to have a new heaven and a new earth with a people made in his image to rule and reign in his name on this planet? We're on our way to that new heaven and new earth. Now, we're still in the fallen earth, can you tell? We're still wearing a fallen body, can you tell that? Yeah, you know, I can tell that. But we're at a stage in this plan where in your spirit does not match your body anymore. Your body is of the earth. This is what Alan was teaching, and I don't know about last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, he's going, look, he says, sometimes you think it's you getting so angry. He said, that's the chemically based brain part of you. He says, my dog can get angry. You know, my dog can get jealous. Sure it can. I've seen that. You know, he says, that jealousy, and that's coming out of that chemically based part of you. That's not the real you. That's not the you that's born of God. That's the part of you you're supposed to put under your foot. And I'm listening to that because the devil will convince you, and religion helps him, that you're that person, and you're not that person. The real you is created in the image of God. Romans 8:29. See, this was God's purpose. They never quote this. All they ever usually quote is verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And they just lift that verse out by itself. And they say, now see there, that car wreck that killed your children, that was good for you. That cancer that come on your person, that's God humbling you, you little proud outfit. Now how in the world you can deduce that and then look at Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who never puts cancer on anybody, who never causes any car wrecks, who never makes anybody's business fail except the money changers in the temple, other than that. He wasn't happy with that. But anyway, all he ever does is good. And you're going to tell me another verse contradicts everything that I see about Jesus? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, what is this talking about? Well, those of you that's been through chapter 8 with Pastor Dave, you know you got to connect it all the way back to verse 26. He's talking about the Holy Spirit's help. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, that should be a capital S, the Holy Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Why can't they be uttered? Because you don't know what to pray for as you ought. Just got through telling you.
We don't know God's plan. He does. Verse 27, He that searched the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, if you leave it in context, now verse 28 makes sense. When you finally quit trying to figure it out and make a decision to just go pray it out. God, I really don't know your plan. I don't know whether I'm a prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher, janitor, gospel entrepreneur. I don't know what I am. I don't know what your plan is. I'm tired of trying to figure it out. Holy Spirit, would you please step in here for about an hour and would you make intercession for me, because you do know the plan. And like Dave says, here you've got the third member of the Godhead making prayers to the Father and the Son. And they're the ones that's going to answer the prayer. I mean, God has made failure. You know, how simple does He have to get it? But, you know, we're busy. Anyway. But see, it's while you're doing that, while you are letting the Holy Spirit make that intercession for you, you trust Him more than you trust your own intellect. You finally yield that there might be someone smarter than you. That maybe God loves you enough that He'll actually pray God's real plan for your life. I don't have to figure this out anymore. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. You just take over here and you make this intercession. While He is making that prayer, you can know all things are working together for your good, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, what is His purpose? And that's in the next verse, verse 29. And it's the same purpose He had in Genesis 1. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. What was His plan? To be conformed to the image of His Son. God is remaking us into what He originally made Adam. Who Adam was created in the image of God, and Jesus Christ is that express image. It was Christ who breathed, it was the second member of the Godhead who breathed that nature into Adam in the first place. Now when you got born again, Jesus has become the second man, the last Adam. He is your Adam, and basically when you got born again, He breathed His nature into you. That's the real you. Not the chemically based brain person that gets jealous and mad and lies and... Anyway... I started to tell you a Lily story, but I tell too many. So, oh, I'm going to tell you. Okay, she my 4-year-old granddaughter, just love her. See, and that's that nature, you know. God, I love that child. I'd give my life for her in a heartbeat. They spent the night with us Friday night. We heard, I don't know, about 9 o'clock at night, we heard a crash in the bathroom. Lily comes out holding the towel rack broke in half, and she walks up to Sue, just wide eyed, going, "This broke by itself." Yeah, this broke all by itself, you know. Sue says, "Now, are you sure you weren't pulling on the towel?" No, you weren't swinging in there. No, it just broke by itself. That's that nature. See, raising these grandchildren, God so loved the world, even in our fallen state. I so love Lily. You know, I so love her, even the way she is right now. I understand, man, that child is on her way to heaven. You wait and see. That child will be, she's going to be a preacher of the gospel if I have anything to say about it. Miracle worker in Jesus' name if he tarries that long. But isn't that, see, it's that nature, see. You know, just lie about it. Now, trust me, none of us sent her to lying school. Her parents didn't send her. I didn't send her. None of us said, "Now, here's how you lie, honey." Where did that come from? It's from that nature, see. All right. Romans 8:29. This is God's plan, for whom He did foreknow. Now, really, right here in this particular verse, He's talking about the Old Testament saints, whom He did foreknow. This is talking about Abraham, Moses, King David, all of the Old Testament saints. They went to a place called Abraham's bosom. You know, Jesus said, "No man has ascended into heaven." At that moment, nobody had ever ascended to God the Father. So where were they? They were in a place called Abraham's bosom. It was a very good place to wait out the centuries, as Jesus preached to them after He was quickened to new life. But God predestined. He made a decision. Whom He foreknew, He predestinated them. He says, "All right, you wait right here. You wait right here. There's something coming. There's going to be a change for you before you can come to heaven. to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, Jesus, they had to wait there until the firstborn, until He was born again from that dead species, really Himself. He received our death into Himself. When He Himself was quickened to new life, He became the firstborn of a new species. This is a species who is born out of the dead species of Adam. He is the firstborn. Then He goes and He preaches to all those saints who were waiting all the centuries there in Abraham's bosom. He preaches the gospel to them. They get quickened to new life. And most of them now were really quickened. It says, them He glorified. Let's read the next verse. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Honey, that's that day when Jesus come out of the tomb, and it says many of the saints came out also and walked around Jerusalem. What's going on there? They have been reborn. They're on their way to heaven. Most of them were glorified in the air as they went. You know, I'm not saying they got their glorified bodies, but I mean, it says here they were glorified, whatever that means. We also are going to be glorified. There's going to come a day when we who are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the air. We're also going to be glorified. Also, thank God I don't have to go through eternity with this body. Thank you. Just a minute. I got to worship God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't, not in this one. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Dave says, I'm going to be 33 and a half years old. I remember 33 and a half. That was good. I had hair. Had a lot more hair. My pear was an apple. Back then, anyway. Y'all having fun? Go to 2 Corinthians 3:18, another one of my favorite verses. What is the purpose of God? He is in the His plan has not changed. Now, what He's doing, we're in phase one. Actually, I guess phase two. The Old Testament would be phase one, where He was gathering a people together that would wait in Abraham's bosom until they could be regenerated into the image of His Son. We're now in phase two, when the Son has actually come, suffered death in our place, was resurrected from the dead. Now He is the head of a whole new species, and we're part of that species. We're walking on the earth. We didn't have to just wait till Abraham's bosom. We have been born again on the planet. This is a new species on the planet. We're not in Abraham's bosom waiting. We're here. He had to leave us here in these bodies. And like Dave, again, connecting it with this morning, Dave says that's really the reason why there's a reward, is because we have to function as new creatures, the real creature that we are, while we're wearing these fallen bodies and having that chemically based brain that gives us so much trouble. But we can. We can. That's what the New Testament says. It doesn't say you're an old sinner saved by grace. It says you're a new man. Put on this new man. So let's look at some of those verses. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that means a mirror, as we look at Him, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We're looking at Him. We see Him in the mirror, the glory of the Lord. It's, you don't see you. You look in that mirror and you see the real you, which is Him. You've been created in that image. And this is the mirror. If you want to know the truth, His Word is the mirror. As you look there, you are changed into that same image. I can't hardly believe my Bible says that. I would think at best it would say some lesser image. You know, I would think that. You know, you'll be in some 30 percentile. But it says, look, I double dog dare you. Is it in your Bible? Changed into that same image. We have been created from the get-go in the image of God. You are created. Once more, God can look and say, let them have dominion. I've created them in my likeness, in my image. They are created in your spirit. In your spirit, you bear the image of Christ. Created in His image. He breathed that same life into you. That is the real you. That's why we made this In Him Confessions now, which I'm not, there's 26 pages of these, and somebody asked me today, says, I did all 26 pages yesterday, and are we supposed to do that every day? I said, oh God, no. Take a portion. You know, by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Get you some. Find some of these that really speak to you. Work on them. Start confessing those, maybe a page, you know, maybe a page worth. Get that really possessed. Possess that land. Get your mind renewed that that's who you are. Then go on to the next one. But yes, eventually, all 26 pages. That's why we've made this tool available for free to you at the website. And again, I want to offer, it's garycarpenter.org. It's in the printed materials section. And it's just called the In Him Confessions. Print it out. It takes 26 pages. Have some paper in your printer. But now, if you really don't have a way to print it, and hopefully you have a friend that loves you enough that if you ask them, they would print it for you. But if you don't, if you'll write Gary Carpenter Ministries, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74157, tell us you need the In Him Confessions. We will print them for you and mail a copy to you, 26 pages. No, we will not put you on a mailing list and ask every month for money. We just want you to have these. Okay? All right. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. I just want you to see some of these verses about the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See, this is, for those of us who know the truth, this is why Allah cannot be God. He cannot be God. Allah sends the children to die for Him in war. The true God sent His Son to die for all the children of men. It's the exact opposite. You cannot reconcile Allah and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not the same. Inclusion is not a valid theology. We are very, what was the word, intolerant. We're like our master. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You must be born again, otherwise you die a child of the devil. You die a child of the devil. You must be born again. Even Abraham and Moses could not come into the Father's presence without the nature of Christ. They had to wait in Abraham's bosom. He loved them, but they could not come into His presence until they received that nature of Christ themselves. You think it's going to be different? If He couldn't make an exception for Moses and Abraham and Noah, Job, you think He's going to make an exception for the generation we live in? You must be born again. You must be born again. All right, one more. Let's go to Ephesians 4. This is one of my favorites. Of course, they're all my favorites. This one, you know, we spent so much time in Ephesians. And the way this one is worded here. And actually, we're going to read three verses. The one I'm after is verse 24. But let's look at the verse before and after. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 23. "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." That you, and what's the purpose? Why should we do that? See, this is another way of saying Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is really the same thing. In Romans, Paul was writing to people who knew the law. To Ephesus, these people worship the goddess Diana, for crying out loud. They don't know anything about the law, so he's phrasing it a little different to their mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's say it a different way. Change how you think. Quit thinking the way you thought before. If you keep thinking the way you thought before, you're going to keep acting the way you acted before. Only forgiven now. See? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What's the purpose? That you put on the new man. Now notice which after God. If you mark anything in your Bible, you ought to underline after God. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, now if you do that, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which after God, that means in His image. Let me read it to you from the Amplified. Ephesians 4:24 from the Amplified Bible says,
that you put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Not man's version of holiness. You were created in true righteousness. Your nature is true holiness. That is who we are at our core. And unless we get our minds renewed to that, we're going to continue to walk like Old Testament sinners who just got forgiven. That is not who we are. That is not what the New Testament teaches. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. You better believe that. Gary Carpenter, that guy needed killing. I'm glad that he died. Now he keeps trying to crawl back out of the grave, but my job is not to let him. Keep him on the cross where he belongs, you know. But he's dead. I'm a new creature. No wonder my past is forgiven. I didn't even do that. And if I do sin, you know, John says, I write this that you sin not. Well, that's a good goal. I'm not against that. Let's sin not. But, right, the very next thing he says, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You're not going to take 1 John 1:9 away from me. If any man sin, come and if you confess your sins, he is faithful to not only forgive you, it says, forgive and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For all practical purposes, he takes you and he dips you in the blood again. And when you come out, you are whiter than snow. Your sins have been purged by his own blood. That's why I tell everybody, I don't care, even as a Christian, even as a Spirit-filled Shondaland Christian, if you sin, don't you do like Adam and go hide behind the bushes. You run to God, not from him. Be like little Lily. I hope the day will come. Lily says, I broke this and I'm really sorry. I go, yeah, I loved her anyway, but it'll be a great day when she trusts me enough to tell me the truth. You know, just, okay, I broke it, Papa. Well, let's go fix it. Anyway, hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Turn to somebody and say, I am created in God's image. Actually, I am very godlike. I am holy. And I am a righteous person. Do you know how many churches that'll get you thrown out of? You go talking like the New Testament talks about you. You get thrown out. Go in there and say, oh, try this one. You know how Dave's always teaching us that what Jesus gave us was the standing of sonship? And that God loves, you know, the prayer was that we would know that the Father loves us just as much as He loved Him. Try that. Go to the first to fourth church or the fourth first church and say, did you know I'm God's child? And they may not balk at that. Some might. Did you know though that He doesn't love Jesus any more than He loves me? You can hear the stones coming out of every pew, you know. But see, that's the truth. We have got to be a people. Yes, sir. Okay. Boy, one of the confessions that you're going to find here, and I didn't really know if you wanted to do this. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We'll close with this. This is the stage we're in right now. This is who we are. Very, very much summed up right here. Now we're still wearing the old wineskin. Very much that flesh that you're wearing, which includes that chemically based brain, very much a fallen thing. Very much susceptible to sin, worry, fear, doubt, and all of that. And we're living in a fallen world. This world is not like God intended. This is not the planet God created. Okay? Yet we are what this verse says we are now in this generation. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. Now get this. We are a holy nation. God hasn't changed. His plan hasn't changed.
He originally intended to make a man in His image that would walk like Him, talk like Him, and have the same results He had. Now He has remade us in the image of Christ, who is the image of God, that we can walk like Him, talk like Him, and have the same results that He had. And God has anointed us with nothing less than the same Holy Ghost that He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with. We're on the same mission, to seek and to save the lost and to undo the works of the devil everywhere we find them. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. Glory to God. But we're not going to do it as a mamby-pamby, world-like, stinking, just like the world stinks people, and think we're going to walk like Him. That's not going to happen. So God's, the way that verse ends says, "We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." I don't know. I have met a lot of church members that are peculiar. But really, the word, I don't know why they use peculiar. It's purchased. It's simply bought. You are a purchased people, paid for in the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. Why? That we should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll walk without sin. And it's possible, or else God failed at His mission. He has not failed. It's possible to walk that way, and even if you do stumble, I don't know any perfect people. I really don't. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So He's even made provision. But we don't want to try and live as close to the world as we can and still make heaven. I want to live as close to heaven as I can while I'm in this world, that the world can see the difference between the light and the dark. Make a choice. Jesus said to them, "Who convinces me of sin? Which of you is going to prove that I sinned?" Nobody could. You know why? Because He didn't. They could see the difference. And they're supposed to see the difference now. So let's make this confession. This is the confession that it made out of 1 Peter 2:9. It says, just to turn to somebody, just tell it to somebody. It says, "I am a member of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. I show forth the praises of Him who has called me out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now here's one more. You can do this one later. Look it up later. Titus 2:14. The verse says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself," here it is again, "a peculiar," should be purchased people, "zealous of good works." So let's do this one, and then we'll quit for tonight. Say, turn to somebody and say, "Christ gave Himself for me. And has redeemed me from all iniquity. He is purifying me as part of a people who belong only to Him and are eager to do good works." Now that good works is not only feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Muslims can do that. Hindus can do that. Those good works are the works that I do, shall you do also. That's opening the eyes of the blind. That's the lame shall walk. The blind shall see. All of the works that He did, we are zealous to do good works. Did y'all get anything out of that? Glory. You have been made in the image of God. Religion will tell you otherwise, but that is the truth. I highly recommend these confessions. It's time to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and put this old wineskin on the altar. Say it one more time with me. I heard the old man of God decades ago say this, and it's still true today. Say it. God's fire does not fall on an empty altar. You want His fire to fall? Get your flesh up on that altar. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Previews of coming attractions. Here lately, again, has to do with Alan's message, separating my spiritual mind, the one where I think like him, from the chemically based mind. This is probably only me. I've actually gotten mad at people in my life. I know. None of you, I know. But I'm talking about me. I've actually gotten angry. And with thoughts that are not Christ-like. I know, oh Jesus, I'm getting intercession over here. He said this to me. I was thinking about that and comparing that with Jesus. And I've heard these sentences. I heard him say, the Christ in you, the real you, not only will not get angry at that person, but will die for that person. He said, your job is to find me in you. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Finding him in us. Because he is there. The mystery of the gospel is Christ in you. The hope of glory. He is the image of God. Yeah, find me in you, he says. That's what we're doing. So it can truly be said about us, what we're trying to do is lose our mind. We're trying to lose that chemically based brain. And trying to find the mind of Christ, which is truly in us. See, and his love is in us. That's the revival. That's the love. See? Isn't that good stuff? Previews of coming attractions. I recommend prayer, by the way. How does that stuff happen with you?